Hey, everybody. Welcome back to A Servant's Heartbeat. My name is Kristen. Thank you for listening and allowing me to share my heartbeat for the kingdom of God with you. So for what we are discussing today, it made me think about teaching in a classroom, especially with younger ones. So when you give a little one a job to do, they feel important. You know, they are going home to mama and saying, look what I was chosen to do today. So in that classroom, a teacher may choose someone to be the line leader. I mean, you know, that's big stuff right there, right? Another one may be chosen to be the door holder or the zookeeper. That's the one that can watch over the classroom pet. Or this one's a pretty important job too, the person in charge of the pencil sharpener. So if there's ever a broken pencil in the classroom, this kid is going to come to the rescue. Now, each teacher is going to approach this a little differently, but typically a teacher has a list of jobs or responsibilities in mind and will choose a student for a particular job. Now, sometimes the giving of that job or responsibility is at random, but other times it's pretty strategic. So giving a kiddo the right job could make or break your classroom. You know, if you give the wrong kid the responsibility of being the zookeeper, then the classroom pet has just escaped. The idea or point behind this is that a child is given a meaningful job and they take ownership of their classroom job responsibility. This is what my teacher has chosen for me to do. And there's just something special about knowing that you've been chosen to do something. Out of all the people in the classroom, my teacher chose me to do this job. Now, to merge this into our topic today, there is something even more special in knowing my God, the master teacher, has chosen me for a specific purpose. Out of all the people in the world, he chose to call me out of darkness. He chose to fill me with the Holy Ghost. He chose to give me new life and new purpose. We all have family, friends, and loved ones that aren't in truth. And to think out of all those, out of all those I used to spend time with and do things in the world with, God, you chose to reach to me. And when God reaches, when God chooses, to put it simply, life just ain't the same. You know, it's for the better. Something about being chosen and being given purpose will change the way you live. It begins to change the way we live in the sense that we begin to live for God with purpose and on purpose. So a few verses that you may be familiar with that tie into this topic, one of them being 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Another verse is found in Deuteronomy. Chapter 7, verse 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The next verses go on to explain that God didn't choose them because they were more in number, but because he loved them and because of his oath. Another one mentions, ye are my witnesses, in Isaiah 43:10, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Chosen to be his witness, chosen to be his servant, and chosen to know him. Oh, the things that the Lord wants us to know. Going back to that classroom example, it does something in the heart and mind of that kiddo when they've been chosen to do something special in that classroom. I've seen this myself. If you give the kid the right job, it will change their behavior. So when God does his choosing, what happens within us? Does it change my behavior to know I've been chosen? Does it change the way I live to know I've been chosen? Has it settled in that God chose me? I've been created for praise, chosen to be a witness, and to reference Acts 1:8, a Holy Ghost-filled witness. To bring a little more attention to Isaiah 43:10, a part of that verse says, that ye may know. And we talked about resting and knowing on the last podcast, but there is revelation in what God is saying and wants to say to his chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no savior. God wants to reveal things about himself to his chosen. And this all sounds amazing, right? You know, the joy of knowing you are chosen of God and he has given you a purpose, even a calling to do something for him. But have you ever lost sight or lost the fire, the excitement behind your purpose? That place or season in life where you know you've been chosen. You know God filled you with the Holy Ghost. You know he's done a work in your life. But life has become life, and somewhere along the way, you lost sight of that purpose he gave you. We start to ask those questions, Lord, what am I even doing here? Or am I even doing the right thing? Again, you know you belong to him, but you may begin to feel ineffective in what you are doing for him. So a personal example here to explain this a little better. Years ago, the Lord made it very clear to me that I was going to teach in some way and work with kids. Well, when he revealed this, teaching and working with kids was the furthest thing from my current occupation. But doors began to open shortly, and I developed a passion and a burden for teaching and working with kids. Now, years have gone by, and some days when those kids are getting on my nerve, I may begin to feel ineffective in reaching and teaching. So when that happens, what am I to do? Now, for the sake of clarification, I still love kids and I still love teaching. The point I'm making here is that sometimes we can get caught up in battles or distractions or whatever else comes along, and we may lose sight or the fire, the burden behind our purpose or a calling that God has given to us. So if and when this happens to you, if you lose sight of your purpose in God, what are you to do? What do you do if you feel distant from your burden that you know God gave to you? I think I've said this before, but just to reiterate, when I present a question like this, the answer that follows by no means is the absolute solution. My goal is to focus on a concept from the Word of God and consider how that applies to answering this question. So with that being said, what do you do if you lose sight of your purpose in God? One word will be our focus moving forward, and that word is remember. Remember? It sounds so simple. It sounds so casual, right? I mean, it's a word that we use on a regular basis. A parent is telling that kid to remember to brush your teeth, reminding somebody else to remember to take out the trash, or remember to stop by the grocery store on your way home from work. And the funny but frustrating truth that goes along with that is when you finally do remember to stop by the store, you done forgot what you stopped by the store for when you get there. So remembering and possibly not remembering can sound like this casual, normal activity of the mind. But as we begin to dig into this, my hope is that we'll see how this plays an essential part in continuing to walk in God's purpose for our lives. So several times the Bible speaks about God remembering. Many times it's in reference to God's relationship and covenant with his people. One familiar example is with Noah. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 16, it says, "And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." That next verse goes on to say, this is the token of that covenant. And on the other hand, God's people also remembered. And many times this is in reference to their deliverance from Egypt, or the wonderful works of God, or the words of God. So a familiar example is in Joshua chapter 4. After crossing clean through the Jordan River on dry ground, 12 stones were set up as a memorial or remembrance unto the children of Israel forever. Now, a couple of New Testament examples, and boy, there are several, but just a few here for time's sake. One of them is the Holy Ghost in John chapter 14, verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So the Holy Ghost will help us remember our purpose in God. If I've ever forgotten about the necessity of the Holy Ghost, well, there's one right there to help me remember, in addition to salvation. So this makes me wonder, is this kind of tying in to what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6? Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands." The NIV says it this way, "For this reason I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God." So if you've lost your fire or purpose, the Holy Ghost, the gift of God, is here to help us. We must remember. So remember, you are chosen for a purpose. And as mentioned before, perhaps somewhere along the way, we sometimes struggle with this. You know, there's distractions, battles, seasons, whatever. Things hit us in such a way that we lose sight, or that fire gets a little low with that original purpose that God has given to us, the calling and purpose that we had maybe 6 months ago. Now, to think about it, it feels kind of numb. Or maybe years ago, you heard a message that was preached and it had you on your face at the altar. And you got up from that altar with a renewed purpose to live for God. But somewhere along the way, now that burden has left, and now you feel distant from that purpose. Or maybe it's a sinful choice or a decision that has made you feel far from your purpose. And guilt and shame starts to cover the mind because you feel like, well, man, I've messed up. Now God can't use me anymore. Well, a very wise lady, whom I am thankful to call my pastor's wife, once said, "Sometimes I have to pray, Lord, help me to remember the things I need to remember and to forget the things I need to forget." In other words, the past is the past. I still have a future in God. So if the passion and your purpose is feeling low, here are a few encouraging reminders for us to remember. The first, remember, God has not forgotten you. There is still a work for you to do. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." God is not interested in forsaking the work that he has started in you. He's invested something in us. He wants to finish the work. The second thing, remember by memorizing his word. In Deuteronomy 6 says something about this. Starting at verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Well, how does the word get in your heart? The next verse explains, by teaching his word, talking about his word. And to think about this, I've heard this before, you can't separate God from his word. He is the living word. And his word is full, in all caps, full of purpose. There is nothing in this book that is written on accident and that is unintentional. It's on purpose. So getting into the word of God will bring me closer to the purpose God has for my life. Now, I'm not getting in this book so that I can become some great study person and say I know some stuff about the Bible. I'm getting into his word. I am putting his word in my heart so that I know how to live, so that I learn how to live in purpose. So when I don't know what step to take, well, the Bible says something about that. Order my steps in thy word. And the last thing that's going to be our main point of focus here, bringing us back to 1 Peter 2:9, where we started at the beginning. We have been chosen to show forth the praises of the one who called us. Well, that word praise in this verse has a unique meaning. And the specific Greek word that's used here is only used 4 times in the New Testament. It's translated praise in English in this verse, 1 Peter 2:9. But the other 3 times, it's translated as virtue, such as in Philippians 4:8, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise. So when 1 Peter 2:9 tells us to show forth the praises, maybe there's something to this. Maybe this goes a little deeper. This literally means to show forth the excellence of character of the one who called you. So to better wrap our brains around this, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. So Peter opens this letter by encouraging us to grow in the knowledge of God. That's in verse 2. And he also addresses the exceeding great and precious promises God has for us in verse 4. And this brings us to verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren, useless, nor unfruitful, unproductive, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, perhaps because he lost sight of his purpose and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Going back to what was mentioned earlier, Lord, help me to remember the things I need to remember and forget the things I need to forget. Verse 10, wherefore rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, because you've been chosen. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So if you're feeling barren or unfruitful in your chosen purpose in God, remember, you've been chosen to show forth the praises of the one who called you. You've been chosen to show forth the excellence of character of the one who called you, to be an ambassador for Christ. There's qualities such as those mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 1 that the Lord wants to develop within us to help us walk in his purpose effectively. So give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Remember, you've been chosen for a purpose.